Welcome to The Voice of Retail. I'm your host, Michael LeBlanc. This podcast is brought to you in conjunction with Retail Council of Canada. Tom Meehan, President Control Tech, a global leader in tamper-evident packaging, retail asset protection, and RFID solutions, is joined by Wade Holman to talk about the latest technology and trends in store-based retail loss prevention. Tom, Wade, welcome to The Voice of Retail podcast. How is everybody doing?
Doing great. Thanks for having us.
Yeah, doing great, Mike. Thank you.
Great timing to have a conversation, and thank you both for taking time to join me. So why don't we start at the beginning? Let's start with you, Tom. Tell me about who you are, a bit of your background, and what you do for a living. I was checking you out on LinkedIn. My goodness, what an interesting, diverse background. Loss prevention, technology, law enforcement, podcasting.
I started my journey probably not in your typical retail way. I grew up thinking I would be in technology my whole entire life, and started in the mid to late 90s some networking companies and worked on my own for a little bit and sold those companies. By today's standards, that doesn't mean much. It just meant that my buddies and I decided that we wanted to do something else and let someone take the business over. Did a little bit in law enforcement investigations while working in retail part-time. That's how I got into it. Various jobs in retail throughout my career in retail, most of them were in asset protection. Yeah. Did have some finance and investigations roles, and really had a great time. Spent a little bit over 22 years in retail, and then switched over to the solution provider side with Control Tech. I guess about 10 years ago, really wanted to get, actually a little bit longer, but really wanted to get into the industry. Got involved in pretty much anything I could, from the trade shows to different organizations and associations, volunteering, and really trying to figure out how to tackle this loss challenge within retail. And I was fortunate in one sense that I got to go through this crazy evolution. I tell a lot of folks, my kids, I tell all the time, is when I started my first retail job, there were no real cell phones. Yeah, there were cell phones around, but no one really had them. We didn't have email. We carried pagers. Mm-hmm. And although there definitely were websites, there certainly wasn't any shopping online. So I got to live through this evolution of technology in retail, from the first IP video cameras to .com to all of these wonderful things, which really put me in a unique place.
And where are we finding you today? Where are you, or where are Control Tech based?
So I am in our headquarters in New Jersey. We also have an office in Northern California in the Bay Area. And then we're kind of all over North America, but those are the two most common places people know about. We have an office in Toronto as well, and then we have a DC in the Montreal area, a distribution center in Chicago, and then California, and then another one on the East Coast. So we're spread out, and we have folks all over North America.
You bring up such an interesting point. I mean, looking at your background, you've got Home Depot, you got Bloomingdale's. I mean, I remember the days, I've been in retail a little bit too, where if you walked into a retail store with a camera and started taking pictures, you quickly were introduced to some LP professionals. That's so different now, right? I mean, everybody wants you to do that. Not just the technology, but the challenges and the operating environment have changed so much. What in your mind, in your experience, has been the biggest change you think materially affects the role today? Not even the role, but the profession of loss prevention.
That I would say technology, but that's too loaded of an answer. Believe it or not, I think social media had probably the most profound impact on retail, both from the good and the bad. I probably would have said a smartphone years ago, but the reality is the smartphone is the tool. But the ability for everybody to be a reporter, everybody has a high-definition camera in their hand, and they can create a narrative, negative or positive, that can really spiral out of control without the retailer having any say. And you hit it spot on. I remember we used to actually approach people that were taping in our stores. That was what we were told to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Either they were competition or they're doing some other things more nefarious. So much change. So interesting. Again, why I'm looking forward so much to the conversation. Now, Wade, tell me about yourself. I think you're the Canadian representative. You're the leader here in Canada. Tell me a bit about you, and what's your background? Where are you based?
Yeah, that's right, Michael. I'm the director of sales here in Canada. And when Control Tech launched about a year and a half ago, I took the position, and I've got a long history of being on the retail vendor side. Started my career back in probably 1991 or 92 as an operator, dispatching alarms in a call center, and kind of worked my way up up on the retail side of the vendor side of the business through a couple of different providers here in Canada, and worked on that side in operations, and then kind of worked my way into the national account role of being a liaison between the company and the retailer.
As I said, the timing for this conversation is great from a number of different reasons. I mean, it ripped from the headlines, as you would say in the famous TV show. You know, we've got a CEO last week, a major retail CEO, talking about just a tremendous increases in theft that could risk store results and store openings. We've heard that from another couple of retailers in the States. And, you know, I saw some numbers like 50% increase, which, you know, it boggles my mind, you know, taken at face value. But let's talk about, you know, let's back up and talk about trends that you're seeing, Tom, in retail LP. Are you seeing that kind of increase in numbers? What are the big trends that you're seeing, if not even year over year, but what's first and foremost on the folks' minds that you're talking to in the retail community?
There's definitely an increase in shrink. There's certainly this, and I would say that it's not a U.S., just a U.S. problem, but it's definitely something that's happening more in the U.S., or at least we're hearing more about it, is organized retail crime. Mm-hmm. And it definitely was exacerbated by COVID and then some of the political challenges throughout the globe. So we're seeing this huge influx. And I think everybody we talk to, we kind of have the same theme. I don't know that I talk to anybody in the retail space today that doesn't have an organized retail crime challenge of some level.
Sure.
And while I think they would say before they saw pockets of it, they're starting to really see challenges with it. And then there are some challenges, again, exasperated by COVID, of the way law enforcement interacts with the public and some things that occur. And, you know, ControlTech's been around for almost 50 years. So some of our customers have been customers of ours for more than 25 years. And so when you're talking to them, I often ask, especially if it's someone that's been there for a long time, what are you seeing that's different? And I think, you know, a little bit generalizing, but it's kind of the perfect storm, right? Pandemic, political turmoil, and that's a global challenge, supply chain challenges, all of these things happening at the same time really bring a lot of that out to the forefront, but it's definitely happening.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I want to get back to that. I got a few more follow-up questions, but I kind of skipped ahead a little bit. I want to go back a couple of clicks. Tell me more about ControlTech. You mentioned that you've been around for a while. So what's the origin story, scope, scale? Where do you operate? And importantly, what makes you different?
Yeah, so the ControlTech's been around since 1976. So this is our 47th year. And second generation privately held company. So it started as a family business, a very, very grassroots story. You know, our founder worked in the industry, and we started out really catering to financial institutions back in the 70s. And then we had a lot of innovative steps throughout the last 47 years. We talk about a commitment to innovation, but for instance, one of the things that we really in the banking and cash security world was we were the first folks to have a tamper evident disposable cash bag. We had a patent on the first coin bag, the first triple lock tamper evident bag. And today we're considered the global leader in tamper evident packaging specific to cash. So one of the things with that is great success there. And in that, I would say, you know, we're certainly our focus is North America, and it has been in that space for a long time. We do have a global footprint there, but it's through distribution. Then about 12 years ago, we, through really just natural meeting with our customers, we got into EAS and RFID and asset protection solutions. And it was a natural progression for us. We were helping retailers and financial institutions and some of the largest in the world protect money, protect their cash. And through that evolution, went into this retail space and traditional EAS, and then transitioned to RFID for asset tracking and inventory management. And, you know, what really makes us different is our people. And I think everybody says that, but I think when I sit here today, we have the perfect mix of engineers, the right sales folks, industry folks, and we're extremely deliberate and focused. You'll notice compared to a lot of people in the space, we don't do video, alarms, burglar, you know, that's not what we do. We're really hyper-focused on cash security in that tamper-evident package division. And then our retail division, we're really focused on product protection and RFID. And, you know, we've had a lot of success because when you're hyper-focused, you can do things quickly and efficiently. And we've had tons of success. And, you know, we're really excited to have Wade join because over the years, we've had customers in Canada. But, you know, about 2 years ago, we said, no, you know, we need to focus on the totality of North America. And we've had tremendous success in Canada. We have a footprint there, a DC there. We have folks working there. And before, you know, 3 years ago, all of our business north was through partners in the United States. So we do some global business outside of North America, but we're really focused on North America.
So, Wade, you bring the domestic expertise from all this expertise up into Canada. How long, remind me again how long you've been, you know, not how long, but the kind of scope and scale for your remit. This is across Canada, you're in all the provinces. Tell me a little bit about that.
I've had a footprint in Canada for a long time, working with a lot of Canadian retailers. And it's kind of what brought Tom and I together a few years back with the, you know, the opportunity for some of the customers that we were doing business with in the U.S. who actually had stores in Canada and wanting to have a single source provider to look after them on both sides of the border. And, you know, one of the things we focused on, the main things that we focused on with the Canadian retailers being such a unique, small, close community was to provide them with the things that sets us apart. And, you know, the first thing that we talked about and one of the very first things that we did was set up distribution within the country so that we could provide them with, product distribution within the walls of Canada, which is a big, one of the big challenges for Canadian retailers.
Yeah.
And, you know, we've, like Tom mentioned, we've been very focused on the approach that we took with the delivery piece, and we've really focused on the customers that we're doing business with here, and we've done a really, really good job, and we've got a really nice footprint that we've laid in the country.
Talk about, Wade, the size of business that you like to work with. Of course, all customers are great, but sometimes, you know, as you said, Tom, as you were saying, focus is a good thing. Is there a specific size, small, mid, large? What is there a, is there some kind of metric you say that there'll be a better fit if the retailer is X, Y, or Z? Tell me a bit about that.
No, I mean, we look at all customers as an opportunity for us to grow the brand. You know, especially in my region of Canada, you know, we have retailers of all, you know, various sizes. It's not the same type of footprint that we have in the United States.
Mm-hmm. Indies to Canadian and multinational, right? Chalk the field a bit. That works.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, all retailers in Canada are important. And, you know, we can have a retailer with 10 locations and retailers with 1,000 locations. And for us, we look at them all the same. It's an opportunity for us to grow the brand and for us to provide, you know, that shotgun approach that we take to all of our customers.
Tom, I want to get back to our conversation about trends and increases. And it's, you know, I know you guys have a focus, but you also live in the world of LP. It feels like some days these big jumps have something to do with an intersection between self-checkout, between the platforms to fence the goods, between law enforcement. We had a great law enforcement win here last week in Canada. The Halton Police broke up a retail theft gang, seizing millions. But, you know, the three of these things all intersect together. Economics comes to play. You know, when you hear of increases like that, what first comes to your mind in terms of the trend that's happening in the store? You mentioned a few, obviously COVID and geopolitical stuff and all kinds of different stuff, but am I on the right track here that the changing in the way that stores operate is leading to changes in the way that ORC approaches retail theft?
Yeah, I think there's an evolution that's going on. I think first and foremost, you know, podcasts like yours, if you're an asset protection professional, education and awareness is probably the key, in my opinion, to success, you know, the human side of it. So hearing what's working, networking, getting together with people, is really so important. I couldn't stress enough the constant learning side of it, because technology won't solve it if you don't know what's working and what's not. And I think there are environmental changes that in some cases make it easier for, you know, a bad actor to go in and be nefarious. And I think that we know that, right? For as long as I've been involved in this, you know, when you build something, you always have to build that better mousetrap. I think the nefarious actors are doing the same research. They're listening to the same podcast. They have their own networks to say, hey.
Okay, if there's any bad guys listening to this podcast, stop listening right now. Tune in.
Yeah.
shout out to the bad guys.
I think, but it's interesting because for all of the information that we share on podcasts like this, it isn't hard to find the bad guys talking on forums, whether it be on social media, Reddit, 4chan, and really it works both ways. I don't think that's changed as much. I think the speed in which technology it can be implemented sometimes causes stress for retailers and for customers for that matter, right? Like if you're a customer, you want the transaction to be as frictionless as possible. You want them to have a great experience. And, you know, I often say this is a retailer's job is not, the job one is not to address theft. Job one is to make that shopping experience both enjoyable and easy. And as you make things easier, sometimes you open yourself up to more loss. Self-check, it's not new. I remember in, I think it was
20 years.
When I started in Home Depot, we were launching it. So it's out there. It's evolving. It's changed. I think
we've never seen it so deployed, though. I mean, I was in a Target store in New York in Soho, and there were four full checkouts and 14, 15, 17 self-checkouts. I mean, it's been around for a while, but it's really started to pick up momentum in terms of, percentage done through that particular POS. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that I don't know that that's by design. We all know that there's been some labor challenges. So if you're a retailer today and you need to stay open, you need to figure out how can I be efficient and utilize it. And I'm not, what I often say about self-checkout is I'm not in disagreement that there's a necessity to have it. It's what technology can you use? How do you keep the shopping experience positive? But I think you mentioned, some of the ORC cases, and then just the recent, there has been a couple of big recent ones, both in Canada and the US, where you have, literally a couple million dollars of seizures. Now, the pieces that I think that those are really impactful because the bad guys do see that. And, if there is a perception that people are going to disrupt their business, then it needs to change. Mm. They really do recognize that it's the risk reward, right? It's always what it is when you're talking about theft. The perception of, am I going to get caught? And what's the risk of getting caught versus the reward? And then I think we can't shy away from, 20 years ago, when you took something, you had to do something with it, right? You went to the flea market. Yeah. Now you have just an abundance of ways. Facebook Marketplace, eBay, Amazon, Poshmark. You just have all of these e-com places that just make it easier to distribute things. E-fencing is a real thing, right? You no longer have to find the outlet. You know there's multiple outlets for you.
Wade, what are you hearing on this side of the border? You work in both the U.S. and Canada, being working for Control Tech. Were you hearing anything different or anything you wanted to add to the commentary around trends different?
Yeah, I think that takedown that happened in Halton, last week is
a great police work. Great policing.
Yeah. I mean, there used to be a time where in Canada we didn't have that much impact of some of these things like they do in the United States. And now all of a sudden it's changed and we're getting more and more and more of those type of events here. So it's becoming an even bigger problem than it has been in the past for sure in Canada.
Tom, let's get back to innovation. You said it's one of the hallmarks of Control Tech. So what does innovation look like? There's lots of ways to address all these challenges. And what are you doing to help address what you focus on and talk about what innovation looks like at Control Tech.
Yeah, innovation at Control Tech is not just about creating the next new thing. It's just as much about working side by side with our clients to understand, you know, how we can, you know, help them. One of the things we do at Control Tech that I also think is a differentiator is we practice a design thinking methodology where we really, really listen and understand what the customer's challenges or client's challenges. And then we help side by side working to develop a solution, might be a product, might be that, might be just a way to implement something different, could be a way to distribute something differently. I think, tactically, we're looking at, you know, with the advances in technology today, how can we get data to our clients in real time so that they can make decisions using sensors like LiDAR and radar and all these different types of sensors that are much more readily available, and combining them with, you know, what you would say are traditional technologies like RFID and EAS. But I think it comes down to really sitting down with your client, collaborating, and truly understanding the challenge. You know, I have years of experience in retail, a lot of it in the luxury space, you know, so I feel pretty comfortable if you had a question about luxury that I would have an idea. But outside of that, you know, everybody has a different challenge. And when you're a multifaceted company that becomes a global company, you know, regions and countries have different challenges based on a lot of different things. So it's all about the collaboration with the end user and the client.
Wade, when you look at the product or service offerings coming out of Control Tech, what jumps to your mind this year? Give me put your hands on something tangible. What is it? We heard from Tom a couple of great things around cash management and RFID, but, you know, land one of those for me.
You know, the one thing that sets us apart from most others in the industry is the fact that we take an agnostic approach to all of our technology. So, and we don't have just one type of solution for a retailer. You know, retailers have been implementing EAS solutions in their stores for years and years, and we take an approach to be agnostic. So if a customer has one particular technology, we can support them. If they have another technology, we can also support them. I think the one thing that's really taken a big jump for us in the last year is our RFID technology. Retailers are more concerned now about the landscape of their stores, the way they look. And RFID is playing a big role, not just in inventory control and accountability for what's available in the store, but also from an ES standpoint. So I think from my perspective, the RFID technology has taken leaps and bounds in the last couple of years, and we feel that we're at the forefront of that.
All right, Tom, advice to retailers, and I'm going to put it in a frame of two starts and one stop. So two things they should start doing right now, perhaps they're already doing it, perhaps not. And one thing they should stop, maybe just do less of, or something that's not working as well as it used to. What comes to mind for you?
So I think the first one is to get involved. You know, get involved in industry associations, get involved in anything where you can network and share information and ideas. And then the second one is to really challenge yourself to continuously learn. So they sound the same, but they're different. You know, listen to podcasts, read, watch videos. There's a lot changing. There's this huge evolution in the world, this hyper digitization. Some of it is based on some of the events that came from COVID, but really take the time to learn, and then stop worrying about the things that you really can't control. I often have conversations. I'm very fortunate with sometimes hundreds of people a month, some I know, some I've never met. I travel a lot, and I often hear people really worried about the things that are 1,000% outside of their control. Right. And they spend a lot of time trying to solve that thing that they're, there is no solve for. So that's kind of my advice to folks. And yeah, there's definitely some tactical things, but, focus on what you can control, not what you can't. Get involved. Don't stop learning.
Wise advice. Wade, last words of wisdom to you. What's the best way for listeners to get in touch with you and Control Tech, and in generally keep up with the insights that are coming out of your shop?
Yeah, absolutely. We can be reached on our website, which is controltechusa.com, obviously. And I can be reached on there too. If my personal email is wade.holman@controltechusa.com.
Very good. And are you both LinkedIn folks? Are you active on social media from that perspective?
Yes, absolutely. LinkedIn, of course.
All right. Well, listen, Tom Wade, thanks so much for joining me on the Voice of Retail. Interesting dive into LP and what you folks do with it and the services you offer. So thanks so much for joining me on the podcast. I wish you both a great 2023 as we are almost ready to turn the page, and look forward to keeping in touch with whatever you bring to the market. So thanks again for joining me.
Thank you, Michael.
Thank you for having us.
Thanks for tuning into this special episode of The Voice of Retail. If you haven't already, be sure and click and subscribe on your favorite podcast platform so new episodes will land automatically twice a week. And check out my other retail industry media properties, The Remarkable Retail Podcast, Conversations with Commerce Next Podcast, and The Food Professor Podcast with Dr. Sylvain Charlebois. Last but not least, if you're into barbecue, check out my all-new YouTube barbecue show, Last Request Barbecue, with new episodes each and every week. I'm your host, Michael LeBlanc, president of ME LeBlanc Company and Maven Media. And if you're looking for more content or want to chat, follow me on LinkedIn or visit my website at meleblanc.co. Have a safe week, everyone.